We are in 1 Peter this morning, 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9. So if you have a bulletin, you can follow along with it. If you brought your Bible, you can find that spot and follow along. We're going to read verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Let's welcome our pastor this morning.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, Grace. What a beautiful day, beautiful people. Have I told you lately that I love you? Who this morning had someone tell you that they loved you? Okay. Now, not even half. So, if you know the person next to you, just turn to him and say, hey, I love you. Okay, good. Good. No, I didn't mean to have lunch with them. guess that's dangerous to do. Get you talking. I had a friend years and years and years ago. He was kind of melancholy. And kind of interesting, this guy, he was on fire for God, but every once in a while, he would get in these moods. If anything went wrong, it was like he was so depressed and so down, and he would say things like, I don't know why God does this to me. Why does he do this? And then he would start trying to figure out what he's done wrong. He would try to figure out why God is hurting him like he's doing. And he knew it had to be something that he did wrong, and maybe had a blind spot, or maybe, and he would just beat himself up. Well, I got news for you. We all suffer from time to time. Have you experienced any suffering in your life? Okay, is there anyone who has not? Let me see your hand, because I want to keep away from you. No, I'm kidding, because it's coming. No, suffering is part of life, and we're in 1 Peter, and actually, it's the very reason why this book was written. People that were going through suffering at the time. all kinds of evil things. Not like the kind of suffering that we go through. I mean, they were being beaten and killed and torn in two and burned at a stake. I mean, they were going through some pretty harsh, harsh times. And we do too, don't we? Maybe not like they suffered, but we have things that we go through that get a hold of us, that grip us, that discourage us, that nails us to a cross, so to speak. And in those times, sometimes we do wonder, what's happening here? I don't understand this. This is not right. God, what are you doing? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning as we look at the scripture before us. And there's three things I want us to look at as we look at this. First of all, everyone suffers. Secondly, there's potential, though, in your suffering. And thirdly, the disciplines during suffering. There's all kinds of suffering, right, that you go through? A lot of different kinds of things. In the Greek word where it talks about many, it's many-colored. or it comes at you a lot of different directions, and it hits you in a different way. And sometimes it's heavier than other things. And sometimes you just want to scream, sometimes just cry, but you always want to run. You know what I'm saying? There's always this thing, I don't like this, I don't want it, I want to get out of here. The psalmist said something like this. I felt like I wish I was a bird so I could fly away. And that's how you feel sometimes. You just want to get out of town. You want to get out of this place. You want to get away from your problems. But you can't, because wherever you're going to go, you're going to have issues of suffering, difficulties. It just happens to us. I think I put it in your notes. In the fourth chapter, it says, Beloved, verse 12, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of the glory, you may rejoice with exultation. So, suffering is going to come. Difficulties are here. Jesus, the perfect man, he suffered. And he suffered, though, for a better good. He suffered with a purpose in mind. He suffered for something that was going to change the world. Now, obviously, we're not going to change the world like Jesus did, but is there a purpose in suffering? Is there something that God wants to do? Is there something, an element that he wants to produce in our life? In that scripture that Mike read this morning, in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed. You have been distressed by various trials, many colored trials, things that come different directions at you. When you read that, it doesn't sound quite right, because it says, in this you greatly rejoice, you're distressed in many trials. Now let's be honest here. Let's be honest with ourselves, honest with God, and honest with each other. When the pressure is on you and the stress is so great and it hits you in a way that you want to run, you don't feel a whole lot of joy at the moment. Or do you? Or do you understand what he's saying? Because listen to what he says here. For this reason, in this you greatly rejoice. He's not speaking of the horrible things that went on, but what he said before. Now listen to what he said, because this has to be a focus of all. Verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. So God has done something in us that's been incredible. His Spirit upon us. He has stirred us to the point that something has transformed us. We're born again. Born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus, because of what he did, we have that resurrection power in us. Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. It's imperishable. The other things in life are perishable. This church, this building, I should say, at some point in the future, whether it be near or far, will no longer exist. You believe that? At some point, you say, well, how about when Jesus returns? Well, I don't know how all that's going to work, but Peter did say in 2 Peter, he said when he comes back that this earth is going to be burned up with a fervent heat. So I don't know how all that's going to work, but at some point, this building is perishable. Things that we have are perishable. Things that we put our hope in sometimes are going to be gone. And so he wants us to put our hope in him. But he has done these things, and these things we greatly rejoice in. To obtain inheritance, verse 4, which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now listen to this. Reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God. Protected by the, what's the power of God? The Holy Spirit. Protected by the power of God. Through faith. Protected by the power of God. Through faith. Your salvation is protected by God. The power of God. Through faith. Through your faith. Now, I don't talk a whole lot about faith because I don't know if I understand it all. I don't know if I could put it all together. I know people who have faith for things and things seem to happen. I know some people believe that if you have the right kind of faith, God will do anything for you. I don't particularly believe that. I think that's pie in the sky, you know. But there is something here about faith and our faith in God. And it says he will protect us through our faith. Protect us in this salvation that we have and this hope we have through our faith. Then he goes on. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time in this. And that's what you're rejoicing in. That God is doing, has done something incredible in your life, and you accept the benefits, you have eternal life, you're in him, you're happy, happy, happy about that. And that is what we rejoice in. Even though, now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Both of these things, in this you rejoice, is present tense, and in this distressed, and a very strong word, distressed, depressed, discouraged, overwhelmed, you know, however kind of words would you like, that's going on at the same time as well. So you have two things happening in you. You've got a joy, and you've got depression. Now, only a real Christian who's gone through things know what I'm talking about. You've experienced this. You know how difficult things are, but there's something in you that keeps looking to Jesus Christ. Something that keeps settling in on him, that you keep pursuing him. That you know in your heart, and it's by faith, you know that he is the answer and that he is the only hope and nothing else will satisfy. A real Christian begins to see that as time goes on. He begins to know that. Now listen to what he says as we read on. In this we greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, so this is important, the proof of your faith, or the test of your faith, that this trial is for a purpose, and it has to do with your faith. And you remember, you're protected by the power of God through faith. That your salvation is in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That your hope and your trust is in Jesus. And that's what he's going to test. Or he's going to prove. Or he's going to show you something different in your life. That this faith... where am I? Faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable. Gold is perishable. Even though it's tested by fire, may be found to the result of praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable. Now, what Peter's doing, he's going to show us something. I mean, how does gold become pure? You know how it is, by a furnace. Actually, this week I wanted to see that, so I YouTube, you know, you YouTube anything. And so I got on it, and I started to look at, watch some of the processes that they do today, and they don't do it by fire, but they do it by acids. In fact, you know, there's a lot of things, like in computers, that have gold in it, and they take those things, and they grind it down, and they put it in a, this guy put it in a little jar so he could show you how it works, and they pour a certain kind of acid, and I mean, it looks nauseous. It looks dangerous. This red stuff was coming up, an orange stuff was coming up, and it began to dissolve all the stuff on the outside. And then he when it was all done, he looked at it, and there was all this goldy stuff. But it still wasn't gold. I mean, it looked like gold, but it wasn't pure gold yet. And so the other process, they put a different kind of acid now to burn away that stuff. And at the end, there were some tiny little flakes of pure gold. But it took a process of a furnace or of acid to bring it down to pure gold. Now, what God is trying to do and trying to show us here in Peter as he gives us this thing about faith is that God in our suffering wants to show us where we are in our faith. He wants to show us really what's going on in our life. Because you see, we will say, oh, I believe in God. Oh, I trust in God. Well, my hope is in God. He, and we sing this and we say, He is everything to me. Let's say that. Everything to me. And we believe that. We believe that. But when you go through the furnace, with the gold, it isn't pure until the impurities are burned away. The impurities are burned away to where there's pure gold. What God wants us to show us is that in our life we have impurities in our faith. We've got some things in our life that are messed up. We think we have come. We think we have come to a place that I trust in God. Why, we even put it on our money, trusting God. And we have come to this place where our hope is in Him until the fires come. And we begin to see in us some impurities. Now, let me tell you, all of us have those impurities in our faith, that we put our faith in other things. You lose a job, your wife is, or you are, depressed, discouraged, and you just want to give up. What are you going to do? And you go rob a bank. No, you wouldn't do that, but it shows something in us. It shows that our trust is not totally in Jesus. And He wants our trust to be totally in Him. He shows us where we are. He shows us the difficulties or the weaknesses of our lives, that He wants to do something in us. Now, if you understand that, if you get that, let me tell you, it's not something that is it's just the way that it is. None of us have perfect faith. Can you say amen to that? None of us have arrived in a place to where, I mean, we can say it, and we need to say it and convince ourselves that there is no one more important than God in our life. That He is the one that we hope in. He's the one we put our trust in. But when these other things come along, that shows us something different. We got to be honest with that. We got to be straightforward with that. We've got to look at that and say, man, Lord, how immature am I? Now listen, and we'll all come to that place at some point. I told you a couple weeks ago this last summer when I was coming to that place and I was embarrassed. And here, then I tell you all my dirty laundry. And I was embarrassed in myself that I was so discouraged and so down about it. But let me tell you what this thing will do. If you recognize, okay, I have some impurities and God is trying to burn these things away, There's a couple things that it will do for you if you recognize that and you don't live in denial. It will do something in you like bringing you to a place of humility. That you'll realize that you have nothing to lean on except Jesus' blood and His righteousness. You think you have good righteousness? Well, let some real fire come your way. Let some real trouble come your way. Let some real difficulties come your way. Now, what it does when we come to this place of Haran, it'll humble us. It'll bring us to the place of Jesus. Forgive me for my lack of faith. Forgive me for the object of my faith has been other things. It's been money. It's been accumulation of things. It's been other things. It's been women. It's been a man. I got to have a man. I got to have a woman. I got to get married. It's been other things except Jesus Christ. And we need to see that. We need to be honest. And let me tell you that you can be honest about that because we're all in the same boat with it. Every single one of us. I think if you had perfect faith, that you'd be like Enoch, just you'd be gone. Oh, what happened to Amber? Whoop. He's gone. Jesus came. Left everyone else behind. Our faith is so important. But the object of our faith has to be Jesus Christ. He's going to show you from time to time that it's not. He's going to show you from time to time how weak your faith really is. And by the way, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to save you. Like just a grain of a mustard seed. Just a little bit of faith. But the key of it all is who the object of your faith is. It has to be on Jesus Christ. So it humbles us. It helps us focus a little more when we go through the impurities being burned off of us and the stress that we're going through. It helps us focus a little more on Jesus as we pray and we seek His face. As we say, Lord, help me. Now you could do other things to medicate yourself, and that's what we do. You know what I mean by that? When you're going through the suffering, you find something else that you to help you get through it. You just got to get through it. That bottle of bourbon, man, just it'll help me get through it. You know, because suffering doesn't last forever. We all know that. It's seasonal. So if I could just have a good drunk day after day until it passes, then. But you know what that does. All that does is make things worse. I mean, if I could just... could just get me a woman. I'd feel better. Just have a little bit of sex. That euphoria would just make me feel better. It just complicates things. It doesn't make it better. It just messes you up even more. And not only will it mess you up pretty quick, but you plant seeds that you'll reap later on and it creates havoc in your life. And then the suffering that you're going through, you brought it on. It's not worth it. So stop it. Thank you. So it helps us not to invest on things that are perishable, but on things that are imperishable. It helps us not to put our hope in the things that will vanish away at some point. It helps us begin to look at that which is eternal in Jesus Christ. Then it will enhance your awareness of Christ. Your awareness of God. When your faith gets off of things and you begin to put it on Christ, It says, the pure in heart shall see God. He's not talking about some future shall see God, but the pure in heart will see God in stuff. In your life. As you go through some things, you'll become more aware of Him intervening in some things. And Him doing some things. You begin to give Him a little more glory and praise because of you just see Him in things, even in the difficulties of life. And it creates in you a greater appreciation for the things that He's given you. Thus, I go back, in this you rejoice. You begin to become more grateful for Jesus and the salvation that you have. You begin to be more grateful for His love towards you. You begin to be so thankful for the friends that you have. Instead of always looking for a better friend, some people do that. They're looking for some type of satisfaction in a friend that they will never find. Because looking for that person, they want to fulfill something that only God could fulfill. If you're lonely, how many of you are lonely? Oh, yes. My hand's up because I'm lonely. I've had a lot of loneliness lately. Now you see my hand. How many of you get lonely? Can I see, be honest? Yeah. See, you got to be honest with stuff.
Well, the pastor, do I get that? Okay.
Well, let me tell you what loneliness does for us. When you go through that time and it aches inside and sometimes I'll seek out someone and I get satisfied a little bit. But for me, what it is Jesus wants to spend some time with me. And if I get in His presence, I do some kooky things sometimes. I get alone and I like to make up songs. I just did this morning. I was making up a song and stuff. And man, I got the big time tingles. It just felt so good. I tell you, I should be a songwriter. Not really. But I tell you, when it's honesty before God and a transparency to God, I mean, He knows anyway, but you're just letting your heart, man, He comes. And He wraps His arms around you. Have you heard the name Joni Erickson Tada? Yeah. She's a lady in 1967 that jumped into a bay and hit a rock or something and broke her neck. And 2 years of recovery, she wanted to kill herself. She wanted to put an end to life. She was a gal who rode horses. She loved to swim. She played tennis. She was extremely active. And now, she is paralyzed from the shoulders down. Yeah. And she wants to die. But somehow in her weakness, her faith found Jesus, and she began to reach out to Him. She's written 40 books. How many have you written? 40 books. She paints. Well, how does she do that, and how does she write? With a pencil in her mouth. Or a paintbrush. That's how she types. She said this: He has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. The more intense the pain, the closer His embrace. The more intense the pain, the closer His embrace. Joni wanted to die. She wanted to flee like a bird. But she would not function. As I was thinking about her, I was thinking, you know, I would be so claustrophobic. Not able to get up and walk outside and feel the wind or the cold. I would be out of my mind. I could almost envision in myself what I would go through. Yet God's grace and weakness. She said this, "My weakness, that is my quadriplegia, is my greatest asset." Because it forces me into the arms of Christ every single morning when I get up. And I tell you, I'm ashamed of myself. And feeling sorry for myself sometimes. Okay. So what do? I want to have faith in Christ. I'm going through a hard time. What am I to do? Some very simple things. The word that he uses there, that we are distressed, distressed, very strong word, very emotional, discouraged word. The first thing they got to do is not be stiff-lipped and just out of act of your will make it through it. No, when you go through some of these things, it's very emotionally depressing. And you need to just cry. Don't be stoic. Don't be tough. Don't be, I can do this because I am a Christian and I'm supposed to be able to do this, so I'm going to do it. Don't do that. You cry. You cry. You take your emotions to God. And you cry to God. You know, it's interesting. Job, when you read and study Job, Job was mad at God. Job cursed the day he was born. And you know how bad that is? Remember, it's God who makes us alive. But he cursed the day he was born. He talked to God and he said, "Come here so I can give you a piece of my mind." Kind of what he said. You know, at the end, you know what God said? Now listen. He says, "You've been faithful." What? God said to Job, "You've been faithful to me." You see, we have this idea that in the discouragement and depression that we can't say anything to God. Now, we'll complain to people and tell them anything, but you better not God. No, he's the one you go to. Listen, you read Jeremiah. Jeremiah complains to God. The Psalms, they go to God and they complain. But here's the thing. They did it to God. They did it to God. They complained to God and they sought God. They said, "I need you. God, help me. God, why are you doing such a thing? Stop this. Stop this. This isn't right." Even in his pain, he went to God. And that's the bottom line. You see, that was the object of his faith. That was his hope. That was everything, but he had all this dross, all this other thing. Now listen, he lost all of his children. What, it was like seven of them? He had a total reversal of funds, went broke. He was a wealthy man. Everything went wrong. And then his body was broken down. He got diseases. And then the final straw, his wife. Well, let's don't go there. What's that scripture you used to quote, Lonnie? About the addict and... Never mind. Anyway. So everything was sour. But the little tiny bit of gold or faith that he had, the real stuff, he took it to God. That's where we're faithful. What you don't do is become so self-pitied that you look for others to satisfy that in you. Looking to others to, oh, I'm sorry, you poor thing. This is real stuff, you know. And you have faith in God. See, though, in your faith as you go through this, the times of suffering, some of the specks and rocks and things that are not faith in God, but faith in other things. And then he goes, and it's in verse 3:16. Do I have the wrong verse? Oh, I'm in James. Okay. 3:16. 1 Peter 3:16. Do you see it? This specifically, he's addressing suffering because you're being persecuted for Christ. But the principles are the same. And verse 16 says, and keep a good conscience so that in the things in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. So here's what you have to do. First, you let it out to God and you cry. You seek Him. Secondly, you keep a good conscience. Now what does that mean? Well, in the verse in 15 there, it says, but sanctify Christ in your heart. Set Him apart in your heart. Always being ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Now listen. But do it with reverence and respect, or gentleness and respect, reverence. Gentleness and respect. Keep your conscience clear, and the way you do it, you just treat people like you should. Sometimes we go through suffering and we snap. Any snappers here? Yeah. Oh, church full of them. Sometimes we let people, let them have it. I don't like you. We don't say that. But we point out flaws in them. And we're just irritated because of things we're going through, and so we strike out. Don't do it. Stop it. Keep your conscience clear. Do some of the things that you've always done before. What are the things that you always have done before? Let me tell you what they should be in case they're not. You're always praying. That is a basic discipline of our life, always seeking God. Now you do this even more. You pray to God and you seek His face. What else do? We go to church. You keep going to church. A lot of people, and I just shake my head. I won't tell you what I want to do. But I shake my head. They get a little discouraged and depressed, and they stay home watching a football game. Because it will pass. But what happens is that faith that wants to be purified and increased, it doesn't grow, and they don't grow. And then they go through this thing over and over again, and they keep running from it and keep running from it, and they never grow. No, no, keep your conscience clear. Do the things that you do when you're on top of the mountain. Keep seeking Him. Keep praying. Keep going to church. Go to celebrate. Overcome those things. Just do those things. Those are called spiritual disciplines. They're called just disciplining yourself. Now, I'm a pretty regular member here. Of course, I have to be. I get paid for it. But there's sometimes I don't want to go. Now, I know that there's times that you don't want to do something that because you're emotionally distraught. Well, you do it anyway. I mean, come on. You're fighting with your spouse. I mean, you're just letting each other have it. And then the phone rings and says, hello. You know what I mean? You can overcome the emotional bad stuff. And that's how you keep a good conscience. I know it's hard sometimes, but you do those things. You do them out of discipline. If you can't learn those things, you won't grow, because it's in these things that help you develop a greater faith on the subject of Christ, a better faith in Him, a stronger faith in Him. So you keep your conscience clear. You begin to continue to live the Christian life. The third thing. Look at Jesus Himself. Christ who suffered. Christ who suffered for us. He didn't want to, but it was more important to Him to do the will of the Father than His own safety. Remember the story in, is it Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that story? You know, they weren't bowing to the idols, and we have these things that we have in our lives. A lot of them are idols that control us and we give into, but they wouldn't bow to the idols, and so they were bound, and they were put in this hot furnace. Now listen, the furnace was so hot that the guys that put them in there died. It's hot. The king wanted to see what's going on, so he got up on a high place and he looked down. Hey, how many did you put in there? Three. Well, I see four. And I see the guys walking around and they're not bound up. Other idols will control you and bind you up. But the furnace and the fire of problems, of things that are harsh to you and hurtful, will burn off those things. And that picture that he's looking down and those guys are walking around, man, I wonder what they're thinking. Wow, this is kind of cool. You know, it's not burning me up. Burned off my stock. But here I am. And Christ in the middle. Let me tell you. Christ wants to have a relationship with you like you've never had before. We have not arrived. We have not come to a place where we should be satisfied with the relationship that we have with Jesus. And the relationship has to do with the faith in Him. So let's make Him the object. So in your hurt, in your pain, in your suffering, focus and rejoice in your salvation. Be thankful in what's being burned away. And in your suffering, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. confessing all along your sins and idols that are controlling your life. That is the result of that stuff. But look up. Say, Jesus, forgive me. Thank you for what you've done in my life. And rejoice in Him. Worship Him. Come on up. So, where are you? Now, there's many of you here that this message doesn't have any impact. Because you don't know what I'm talking about. Because you're flying high right now. Good. But I hope you heard what I said. Not being negative, but trouble is coming. But it's because He loves you. And He has given you everything that you need for life and godliness in Jesus Christ. Put your hope in Him. Put your trust in Him. Thank God for examples like Jonah in a life so messed up, yet some way that faith that was weak and had all kinds of residue of other stuff on it was burned away. To put it right there. Let's stand and sing this song. So it comes back to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy caused us to be born again. According to His great mercy. That's why you don't have, that's why you can be honest. He's merciful, God. That's why you can say, hey, I'm suffering because I'm trusting my bank account and God, I need you. I need you. I need to trust in you. He's merciful. Father, today, as we go, may we lean upon you, put our hope in you, and be so very grateful for your mercy and that you gave your only begotten Son. And we thank you, Lord, your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go.